Rampage Dramas present The Mountain Meadows Massacre. This week's front page drama, The Mountain Meadows Massacre, is a dramatization of an incident in the history of the settlement of the Far West to be found in Chapter 9 of The Road to Zion. The true story, never told before, of the epic march of the Mormons to find their promised land, as well as their struggles in settling it. This saga of the Mormons, written by Joseph E. Robinson, famous pioneer and Utah legislator, is now being featured in the American Weekly, a magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. 83 years ago this month, a wagon train with 137 men, women, and children arrived in Salt Lake City, Utah, on its way to California. Most of those in the expedition were from Arkansas, but soon after they began their trek across the prairie, they were joined by a small band from the state of Missouri, a wild, belligerent gang who called themselves the Missouri Wildcats, and their conduct seemed wholly in keeping with their name. One of their worst faults was their open enmity toward the Mormons, and as they were traveling through Mormon territory, they were not very welcome. They caused considerable embarrassment to the commander of the train, Captain Fancher. Upon their arrival in Salt Lake City, he went to confer with some of the Mormon elders, presided over by Elder Charles C. Rich.
Personally, you are most welcome indeed, Captain Fancher. I'm sorry I cannot say the same to some of the members of your party.
I presume you refer to the small but militant party of Missourians in my train who call themselves the Missouri Wildcats.
They have spread rumors and alarms among my people that have created ill feeling and distrust. They have said the federal army is nearing our borders to drive us out of our promised land.
Elder Rich, their statements are wild, groundless rumors.
We have sworn testimony from several of our people that the Missourians intend to leave their families with their wagons when they get to California so that they could come back and, to use their own words, help kill every Mormon there was in the mountains.
More wild talk, Elder Rich.
They have openly boasted that on one of their number possesses the very pistol that was used to assassinate our prophet, Joseph Smith. They have vowed to use it for the same purpose against our great prophet, Brigham Young. Now you come here seeking advice and aid from my people.
I have endeavored to the best of my ability to discipline these offenders. However, these thoughtless people are in the minority.
I realize, Captain Francis, you reply in kind. The majority of our people are quiet, God-fearing folk. But we have among our numbers those who would throw caution to the wind and take action that might result in disaster.
I repeat my promise to you, Elder Rich. I will do everything within my power to ensure peace during the remainder of my journey through your territory.
Very well.
Now, if you'll be so kind as to offer your suggestions of the best route to follow, I'll assemble my wagon train and move on as quickly as possible.
Lay out your map, Captain Fancher, and I will mark you the safest and shortest route.
Thank you very much, Elder Rich. Here they are.
I see. Yes, I would advise you to follow this trail here, Captain Fancher, due west of Salt Lake City.
But that trail is the northern route, Elder Rich. And while I'm ready to admit it's much shorter, it crosses the Great Salt Lake Desert. I've got quite a herd of cattle and livestock in my wagon train, Elder Rich. And it's a tough job getting through that country. Now, what's the matter with the southern route, following the west valleys of the Wasatch Mountains through Fillmore, Corn Creek, west of Cedar City into the valley of Meadow Mountain? There's plenty of fresh water and lush grass that way.
Yes, I know. But I strongly advise you to take the northern route. The Indians in southern Utah are very hostile, especially against the immigrant wagon trains. You take my advice, Captain Fancher. Follow the northern route and be safe.
I'm afraid I'll have a rebellion on my hands if I do. However, I'll try it. Well, thanks for your advice and hospitality, Elder Rich. Reckon I'll be getting along back to my wagon.
Now, hold on there, Captain Fancher. We know you're in command of this here wagon train, but we're paying you all. We got wives, kids, and livestock to think about. And while we trust you all, we don't trust them ornery Mormons, none.
Well, who's right, Captain?
Yeah, he's right.
Anybody can see why they want us to take that damn northern route. Sure, it's the shortest, you bet. The shortest, quickest way of them getting us out of that territory. They hate Williams. They'd be powerful glad to see our livestock, and maybe us along with them, perish for lack of water. I'm on to that scheme.
Yeah, and I'm with Dillon on that score. They don't want us to use the southern route because it don't go through all the territory and settlements. They hate us and don't want us going through their land.
That's what it is.
You only need half an eye to see through their little scheme. What's more, I'm putting it up to the rest of you folks. Are you with us? We want the northern route?
No,
listen, everybody. I've stated my reasons for believing that Elder Rich and the Mormons are still quite friendly toward us. And their advice is for our own protection and safety. They say the Indians in southern Utah are hostile. And what's more, that's bad country to be attacking. Now, don't be in a hurry to decide.
Think it over carefully first.
Oh, we've done thought it over, Captain.
Sure we have. We ain't taking them lying Mormons' word for nothing.
No,
how about it, folks?
No, sir.
Oh, you hear that, Captain? It's no use for to argue. We want to go the southern route, so let's get going.
Yeah, let's go.
The southern route it is, then. But I'm warning you all here and now. I'm not responsible for what happened.
That's all right.
It's your own free choice. Go back to your wagons, everybody, and let's go.
Completely ignoring the good advice of the Mormon elders and Captain Sancher, the wagon train headed south. The Missouri Wildcats continued their verbal attacks against every Mormon they passed en route, and ill feeling was growing into dangerous proportions every step of the journey. Near the southern boundary of Utah, the train wound into a narrow valley, hemmed in on each side by low mountains and covered with lush grass and plenty of fresh, clear streams. These characteristics gave the place its name, Mountain Meadows. The wagon trail halted and pitched camp on Saturday, September 5th, 1857. And all day Sunday, the weary travelers rested. But Captain Sancher had plenty of serious trouble.
Hey there, you Dillon. Calhoun. Foster. Clark. I thought I told you before sundown last night to move your wagons in the circle. And where are your guards? I ought to post it. When will you realize this carelessness might bring on an attack by the Indians?
Oh.
You're certainly leaving yourselves wide open for one.
Now, what are you all worried about, Captain? There ain't no danger Indian attacks here.
Indians?
We've been on the trail for over a month and ain't so much as seen one. Why don't you all quit your fretting and let winds rest? It's Sunday, ain't it?
Sure, what's eating you, Captain? Still believe that old bunkum about Indian attacks them Mormons was poisoning your mind with? Ain't nothing to be afraid of. We're well protected by them mountains. We can spot them if they come through the valley.
Yeah,
just
right,
because
Calhoun.
We haven't sighted Indians and they haven't attacked. Don't think there aren't any. This is bad country, and we can't afford to take any unnecessary chances. Now stir yourselves and get those wagons in line and close up that gap in the circle.
Sure does scare awful easy for an old soldier, Captain. Now look at the cattle quietly grazing out yonder. Why, even they're enjoying the peace and quiet. Why, it seems like everyone's enjoying themselves but you all.
Now look here, Dillon. You too, Calhoun. Round up your livestock and drive them in close. If they wander too far off, the Indians are liable to sneak up in the night and drive them off. Now, if they do, we can't afford to send men out looking for them. That would mean certain death.
Doggone, if you ain't the most worrying man I ever met up with. Go on away and leave us be, Captain. We'll pull the wagons and livestock in by sundown. There's plenty of time. The Indians ain't gonna attack us in broad daylight.
Oh, we'll do. Mosey on, Captain. Don't worry none about us. Well, we're from Missouri. We'll get along all right.
I'm warning you all. Don't forget now. It may be too late by sundown.
All right.
Remember, we're getting an early start tomorrow. If those cattle have strayed off, we haven't got the time to go out looking for them.
Oh, we'll be up early and ready to move at daybreak, Captain. Now go on off and leave us in peace.
Here, Calhoun, get out of that wagon and come out here. Just as the captain said, the livestock's unwanted off.
Now, don't fret yourself, ma'am. They ain't gone far. Get the breakfast going. I'll soon find the cattle.
That's what you think. But I'm telling you all, they've wandered off so far, they ain't in sight.
Ah, quit your yapping, boy, and get back to fixing that breakfast while we go and drive in the stock. Come on, Jim, let's go hunt them.
Yep. Here we are.
And you better take your shotgun with you, Jip. Might come in handy if we have to go for
her. I won't be in need, miss. Come on, it'll soon be time to get moving again.
Looks like them dumb beasts have run clear off. I can't see hiding a hair of them. They're quite a fair piece from the wagon.
Well, we gotta find them. Can't afford to run off and leave them behind.
Well, go on, Jeb. It just come to me. You all remember what Captain said? Maybe them skulking Indians done stole them in the night.
Indians? You're talking like that old woman, Captain Fancher. If they'd been Indians, we'd have seen or heard before this. There ain't no such.
Look out! Look! Let me go, Jeb. It's Indians. Look, the place is full of them.
Yeah. Come on.
That was the beginning of an attack which caught the whites completely unawares. Behind the bluffs that circled the meadows, scores of bronze-skinned figures opened a murderous screen of gunfire. Stranded and trapped, the emigrants tugged desperately at wagons, pulled them into the circle to try to ward off the Indian attack. For 4 days, the savages kept up their murderous fire at every moving thing within the camp. The suffering from thirst and hunger became intense. The wounded screamed and moaned in delirium. On the morning of the fifth day...
Captain Fancher! Captain Fancher!
What?
Look. There's a wagon with some white men coming down the trail. The Indians stopped shooting.
Careful, Hamilton. Maybe a trick. Wait now. They've stopped.
Look. Getting down from the seat. One of the men is waving the white flag.
He's running this way.
Wait. Mary Louise. Mary Louise, come here.
What y'all going to do, Captain?
There's a Weaver, white dress on. They won't fire on her.
Uh-huh.
I'll send her out to see who they are and what they want.
Here I am, Captain Francis. What do you want me to do?
Run out and meet those white men running this way.
Yes.
Tell them I sent you out and ask them who they are and what their mission is.
Yes, sir, Captain Francis.
Who do you think it is, Captain?
I don't know. It might be a trick. The Indians may have captured these white men and forced them to come down here waving that flag of truce to get us to run out in the open where they'd close in on us.
Yeah.
But if it is a trick, they'll tell Marie. And she'll run back and warn us.
Well, looks all right. She's talking to them. Now she's walking along with them, coming this way.
We're from the Cedar City. We heard of this attack from a friendly Indian. We needed to set out to see the Indian chief and get him to call a truce. The Indians were mighty mad, and they fear reprisals, but we've got them to agree that if you lay down your arms, they'll let us see you get back safely to Cedar City.
Well, I don't like the looks of it, to be frank with you. But we're trapped. Our livestock and horses are gone. We're nearly out of ammunition. And both ends of the valley are cut off and guarded. I sure hate to put down my rifle. And I know every one of you feels the same way. But we're looking death in the eye in every direction. I reckon we've got no choice. What do you say, men?
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right, Captain Francis.
Right you are, Captain. Everybody fire your guns and ammunition there in the open.
Yeah,
wounded men, old women, and small children get in our wagon. The rest of your fellows in single file. All ready?
Yeah, all ready.
All right, let's go then. Single file, remember, and be sure to leave all your weapons behind. Young lady.
Yes?
You there, the one in the white dress.
Yes, sir. What can I do?
Get the old folks and little children to those two wagons quickly.
Oh, yes, sir, I will.
All right, now the rest of you folks start marching. Follow me in single file. They're all safe now.
I hope to heaven you are right, but I doubt it.
Grimly but hopefully, the procession started and everything seemed quiet and peaceful. Then about a mile away, the trail wound through a rather thickly wooded section of scrub oak. Suddenly, 100 spurts of flame shot out from the trees, and the hillsides rang with the blood-curdling yell of Indians leaping from every tree and bush. In less time than it takes to tell, the massacre was complete. Every adult member was killed, 120 in number. 17 children were spared. These were taken into Mormon homes and later were returned to their friends and relatives, the sole survivors of the Mountain Meadow Massacre. The tragic story you have just heard is included in Chapter 9 of The Road to Zion, the true story never told before of the epic march of the Mormons to their promised land and their subsequent struggles to settle it. You will want to read this dramatic history of the West, which is now appearing serially in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.